Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, it is time for 5 o'clock Fast Track. And let's see, coin flip, one side of the coin. We've got my pick for tonight, Allie Quigley in the horse competition. Other side of the coin, Zach Levine, who John bet on against me, plus bet $2,000 at 5-1 odds to win the whole thing. John, call it in the air. Allie or Zach?
Go Bruins. Zach Levine.
Zach Levine. Sorry, Mace.
All right. We will find out shortly. Ireland, it's to you.
Fast Track.
Okay, Mace. So we've been talking about a lot of different scenarios if baseball comes back this year.
Yep.
One thing that is becoming clear, there's probably going to be a universal designated hitter. It's one of the only ways to level the playing field. Now, I actually prefer the National League because it involves more strategy. But the website FanSided makes a good point. This change could lead to more offense, which normally leads to more ratings. If the teams are hitting 20 more home runs apiece in the National League, thanks to adding a designated hitter, that means adding 300 home runs over the course of a normal season. That's close to 2 extra home runs per day, and that could be good for fan ratings. If that happens, they would almost for sure permanently go to the universal DH. Would it be a good thing or a bad thing to permanently add a DH to both leagues?
God, I go back and forth on this one. I prefer National League Baseball to
American
League Baseball.
I do too. But I think the problem with our position is they'll never go back because it would eliminate too many jobs on the American League side.
No matter what, it's eliminating jobs. You're either eliminating jobs of pitchers or you're eliminating jobs of hitters. So you're going to eliminate jobs no matter what. Do you want to carry one extra hitter or one extra pitcher?
They could always up the number of people you carry to 26 if they want to do it. I'm with you. I kind of like National League Baseball because then if it's the sixth inning and, you know, Walker Buehler's pitching great, but it's a 0-0 game and you got runners on second and third and they're two outs, what do you do?
Yeah,
you never have that dilemma in the American League.
There's not nearly as much intrigue. Now, I think, Lindsay, aren't you an American League fan more than a National League fan?
Yeah, I would say that.
But how do you feel about the DH?
I mean, I personally actually prefer having the DH, or prefer to not have the DH, because I think that it allows a lot more and involves a lot more strategy. It makes it tougher.
All right, now let's make the argument. I know we're all in agreement.
We're all in agreement.
The National League. But let me make the argument for the other side. Pitchers hit under 200. They hit about 150. They're an automatic out, basically, in baseball. So, and they don't work at it. That's just been the evolution of it, is pitchers don't work on their hitting. Why put something in the game where the person at the plate doesn't care whether they get a hit or not? Why not take that out of the game?
What's the fact that they don't work at it makes it different, right? I mean, because then you've got to make your decision about whether or not to take a pitcher in or to keep a pitcher out or to pinch hit for a guy. So, no, to me, the fact that they're not good at it is what makes it interesting, because then you've got to consider pinch hitting for that guy.
Right, but it's interesting that they don't work at it. You know, you would think that Madison Bumgarner is a great hitter.
If you stood around the Dodger batting cage, they have competitions, and Clayton Kershaw is not an automatic out.
Pretty close. I think he's a lifetime 200 hitter.
He's not an automatic out. I'd have to look up his numbers, but he's a better hitter than you're thinking, maybe.
If Kershaw is a lifetime 200 hitter, or even a lifetime 220 hitter, that's not somebody you want up with runners on second and third.
Correct.
That's two outs in the sixth.
That's why you've got to consider pinch hitting for him. That, to me, is the interesting part.
Yeah. Well, we all agree on this, but I think it's going to go against what we want. I think if anything, don't you agree that if they unify it, that it would be, They won't go back and add the pitcher to hit in the American League. They'll add a DH to the National League, don't you think?
I'm guessing it's going to stay exactly the same. I think there are enough just enough traditional fans to think it's interesting when it's the other way too. So you get to see both. I personally think, I don't think it's a guarantee that, that it's gonna wind up being, a DH in both leagues. I think the DH will stay in the American League and the NL will stay as is.
I hope so. I mean, that way, then every person has a camp to stand in. You have a choice.
Yeah. Funch?
Fast Track.
Robbie Berger at Bro Bible has put together a list of the top five ESPN personalities of all time. Here's what he says. Number five is Stephen A. Smith. Number four is John Gruden. Number three is Tim Kirkjian. Number two is Chris Berman. And number one is Scott Van Pelt. John, it's not an easy question. Give me your top five ESPN personalities of all time.
Well, I don't know who that writer is, but to leave Dick Vitale off of that list is criminal.
Ooh, that's really tough.
So
yeah.
you got to have. I'll do these in no particular order.
Okay.
Dick Vitale absolutely has to be on the list for me. He's in my final five. Keith Olbermann, who is not on his list,
he's
is in my final five. For my money, the best sports center anchor of all time. I don't think you can write a history of ESPN without Chris Berman.
Yep,
I know there are some people that don't like him, but without Chris Berman, I don't think you can. I mean, it's just there's no way you can write a history of ESPN without Chris Berman. Now is where it gets tough. Stephen A. and Scott Van Pelt are the now the morning and evening faces of ESPN, of the current network. But for my money, I grew up on Mike and Mike, and now I watch Get Up. I put Mike Greenberg on my list. I know he wouldn't be on everybody's list, but I put Mike Greenberg on my list. And because I think that it's been incredibly difficult for a woman to succeed at ESPN, that I would probably find a way to work either Linda Cohn, Hannah Storm, or Doris Burke onto my list. And because I'm a friend of Doris Burke's, I will give Doris my my spot that I think it should be reserved for, you know, one female represented on my list to just show how hard it is to be successful at the network. So for me, and that's off the top of my head, Vitale, Olbermann, Berman, Greenberg, Doris, and my first one out is Dan Patrick.
Okay. I actually put Linda Cohn in my list. You know, she's anchored more sports centers than anybody in history.
Do not dispute putting Linda on the list at all. Love her.
I put Mike Greenberg on the list, again, because of Mike and Mike. And now, you know, in what was originally a really tough spot, people didn't know if Get Up would work or not. Get Up has succeeded.
Yeah, made major changes right out of the gate.
And Greenberg has done great. I think Patrick and Olbermann are automatics in my mind. They were the state of the
art. That only leaves you with one more spot.
Which only leaves me with one spot. And I am going to give it to I'm going to give it to Stephen A.,
ahead of Dick Vitale and Olbermann.
Ahead of Dick Vitale. I mean,
and Olbermann. Oh, no, you put Patrick and Olbermann
I put
in, right?
Patrick and Olbermann. You know,
no Berman for you.
Stephen A. is a love or hate guy, and there are very few of those guys out there anymore. He is, how often do we wind up playing clips from Stephen A. on our show and reacting to them? He is, to me, right now, the most important personality on ESPN, and I think that's why I put him on the list.
Yeah, I don't dispute that Stephen A. deserves a place on most lists, and I think that if you do this list in 5 years, he's an absolute lock.
Yeah.
But I don't know who I would take off to put him in. You know, I think Van Pelt and Stephen A. are waiting in the wings and would be in there in 3 to 5 years, but I don't even know. I don't think Van Pelt would put himself on that list.
Yeah, Van Pelt is close. Van Pelt is going to be that guy in a couple of years.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm a really big Scott Van Pelt fan. All right, Funch?
Fast Track.
Oh, actually, right. We should probably go to break, shouldn't
okay.
we?
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, go to break real quick. Coming up, Funch has a question, and Lindsay has a question. Fast Track, 5 o'clock, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track, and Funch, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, guys. So we almost, as a country, have been in quarantine for almost a month. And many of us, mainly you guys, have been stuck at home. Now, the one thing I get with talking with people is that many can't remember the last time they wore real clothes instead of sweats and pajamas. Now, I still go out 5 days a week, but I'm wearing sweats and bumming it out like everyone else when I come to the station, except for yesterday when I actually wore real clothes, like a pair of jeans.
Wow.
So I asked you guys and gal, when was the last time you guys wore real clothes?
All right, I can tell you for a fact, I've only worn pants that needed a belt twice in this entire quarantine. Once, with last Sunday, even though we can't go inside to see her, we took an Easter basket to my mom and waved to her through the window, and I didn't want to dress like a slouch, so I put on a pair of pants. And that was one time. And then yesterday, I had to walk Reagan to the pet store to get her supplies, and I threw a pair of pants on for that. Other than that, Mace, I've had sweats on every single day. I have four different pairs of sweatpants. I just rotate them.
I find for the first couple of days we did the show, because I have not gone anywhere for 3 weeks. 3 weeks ago today, I went to the drugstore. And I found I was doing the show in sweatshorts and a t-shirt every day, and I felt like I wasn't doing a good job. So for about the last 2 weeks, I've worn jeans every single day, jeans and tennis shoes while doing the show, because it gives me more of a work feel. So I am dressing every day. I've got a Dodger t-shirt on, jeans, and a pair of tennis shoes.
Lindsay, when's the last time you got dressed up?
Wait, you wear shoes, like tennis shoes, around
your
house?
I do. I'm wearing tennis shoes at the house.
Yeah, I haven't worn shoes. Matter of fact, I'm leaving my shoes outside.
That's what I'm doing, too.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel like I'm working.
Okay.
Yeah,
Go ahead, John.
No, go ahead. It's up to you. When's the last time you got dressed?
I got dressed on Friday when I went out for a walk just around the area. And, like, I live in the marina, so I just walked over to the beach. And I had dressed just so I can kind of, like, feel like a human for a couple of hours. But that's really the only reason why.
And Funch, you're dressing every day.
Sweatpants. The last couple days. Yesterday, I wore jeans, and today I'm wearing, like, some jean shorts. But, you know, every other day I've been wearing sweats just like the rest of the country.
Funch, yeah. You're the one of the four of us who's going to the station every day.
Uh-huh.
On average, from the time you park in the West Garage?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so that's when we park in, too. If you park in the West Garage and walk into the studio, including people at ESPN LA, average amount of people you'll see on a given day is roughly what?
Oh man. Just walking through the plaza, and at least 200 people, you know, just
what?
Going, you know.
In one day?
Well, I mean, people walking around the plaza and stuff like that.
There are 200 people walking around the plaza?
No, I mean, that's when I was working, and that's before quarantine. I'm just giving you guys.
Now
it's like nobody. It's just me.
Like, is it conceivable you could park your car, shut the door, walk into the studio, and see no other human?
No, there's barricades outside of LA Live, and they're trying to tell people to get out unless you have, you know, an essential
right
role here, you know.
So you do see a few other people.
I see security guards, and then I see Curtis Poindexter at night.
Right, Poindexter, who's taken over the Sliwa show.
Yeah, that's all I see. That's wow. Basically who I see. The people downstairs, and then the people walking around the security walking around the perimeter, and then
so
Curtis Poindexter.
As far as you can tell, Funch, is anything open? Like, where our studio is, it's next to a Starbucks, a bunch of restaurants,
Nothing's open. Everything has signs
that
were closed.
Yard House isn't even open for takeout?
See, I don't even know if Yard House is open at all. I mean, I see no employees walking in and out, because usually sometimes you might see employees walking outside.
Smashburger not open for takeout?
Nothing. Nothing's open over here.
Wow. Isn't that crazy? It's like, it's surreal. All right, Funch.
Fast Track.
Lindsay, it's to you.
So, as Mason mentioned a couple times, we're going to have former MLB pitcher Dan Straley on tomorrow's show. He's over in South Korea playing for the Lot Giants, who are supposed to start their season in the next couple weeks. Over in Taiwan, the Chinese Professional Baseball League is actually back up and running already. And while fans are not permitted to attend the games, they do have sections of the stands full with robots. So, what? Yeah, the CPBL is replacing fans with robots, mannequins, and cardboard cutouts. And in fact, they even had their robot fans participate in the kiss cam, which I thought was kind of adorable. I know it sounds super weird, but after watching some of the highlight videos, I thought that like the games with the robot fans appear a lot less jarring on TV than the ones where they're not there. Cause there's some of the games, like they have nothing in the stands at all. So like I said, I think the robot fans are kind of like cute and fun, and you know, they add a little something to the game. Do you guys want to see them at MLB games when baseball resumes, or do you think it's just too weird?
I'm looking at them right now, and I got to say, it's not as weird as I thought it might be. Now, I don't see robots.
You're looking at cardboard cutouts?
I see cardboard cutouts, including a row of, like, photographers. I don't see any robots necessarily in the stands.
So I think the robots are limited for, I think they only have a couple of them, like, planted in there for when they do. Like, they still have, what do you call them? Like, the
mannequins.
Like the street team people that are just like the pump up people that, you know, that work for the teams that go around with like the
yeah, I see that. I see they've got guys with t-shirt cannons.
Yeah
they got a couple. Mace, I got a couple of robots playing, like being part of a drum line, and they're playing drums.
Yeah, so like I think that they have the robot stage to be part of those things because they're cutting to those things like during the games, you know, to just kind of like make it look
hot girl cutouts. They got a bunch of hot girls in the stands as cardboard cutouts. They've got a bunch of baseball players with masks.
As weird as I thought it was going to be. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't do that. Now, and by the way, there's a sponsorship opportunity. They all have Rakuten on their chest.
So
there's an opportunity to make money from it.
Yeah. Okay. So Lindsay, you mentioned that you were looking at highlights. Could you tell whether or not they were pumping in crowd noise?
Oh, you know what? I didn't listen to them.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, let's say.
Oh yeah, they are. They are.
Okay,
they
so Mace, sure. Let's say you're in charge of the Dodger Network. You're in charge of Sportsnet LA. And they play baseball, and we have cardboard cutout fans, and we're watching at home. Do you pipe in Nat sound of a baseball game so it sounds normal, or do you just leave it alone?
I think I do pump in Nat sound of a baseball game. Not necessarily cheering like for a home run, but just Nat sound so that there's something aurally going on. And by the way, this mannequin thing and this cutout thing, I think everybody should do. There's money in this. They're cutting away to these, and they're all little billboards. They've got signs and sponsors on them.
You can be creative. You could put Jack Nicholson in the stands.
You could have a blast with it.
You could put Chewbacca in the stands.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you could put the cast of Vanderpump Rules in the stands.
I mean,
you could do whatever you want. Now, basketball is harder. Remember, we had that one caller a couple weeks ago that said, no, you don't want to pipe in crowd noise because in basketball you could hear what they're saying to the refs. You could hear what the coaches were saying. Would you do it in basketball?
I probably would. I feel like you kind of
have to.
I mean, it's going to be jarring to watch a game without anything audio going on.
So that, like, I think this is trial and error. For example, Bill Maher, this leads itself into a question that I have coming up.
Yep.
But Bill Maher is doing his show, and he's doing it with a laugh track.
Yep.
It doesn't work for me.
Does
it work for you?
It's absolutely awful. I mean, I love Bill Maher. I love that show. Real Time is one of my favorite shows on TV, but it has been awful. Without a live audience,
and I give him credit, a
live audience.
Matter of fact, well, hey, Funch, hit Siri, hit the sounder.
Fast track.
Okay, this is my next question. Let's just get to it because I'm taking you down that road anyway. Almost all of the TV shows we watch are taping from home these days. Real Time, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, all three late night hosts, Kimmel, Fallon, and Colbert, even Saturday Night Live did an episode from home this past week. Which show is doing the best job under these circumstances, which, includes no live audience? So of the ones you've seen, you may not have seen them all, but who do you think has made the best lemonade out of the lemon that is no live audience?
I think it was Saturday Night Live. I thought Saturday Night Live was very funny. It had a bunch of laughs. It had some sketches that missed. And even at the beginning, Tom Hanks acknowledged, hey, some of these aren't going to hit. That's always the case with SNL. But I thought for the most part, SNL did a really, really nice job. Made me laugh quite a bit. And there was something reassuring about 8:30 on a Saturday night getting Saturday Night Live. I've not seen a lot of the other shows, the weeknight shows. I do think John Oliver also feeds off a crowd on Last Week Tonight.
But he has decided not to add a laugh track. And now that I've seen Oliver and Marr, I think Oliver's choice is the right one. The laugh track is incredibly awkward. It just he's standing in front of a fern, and there are people laughing. It just doesn't add up.
It just doesn't. The Marr thing just doesn't work. I wish Bill would fix it. And just do it. I mean, he's doing it from his backyard. I mean, the circumstances are impossible. He's a stand-up comic. I mean, he feeds off the crowd, right? So,
right.
Much more so than John Oliver.
Yeah,
John Oliver actually isn't a stand-up comic.
But he does his show in front of a live audience. Last Week Tonight does tape in front of a live audience,
yes,
which he doesn't have anymore. We need to preface this whole conversation by saying it's an incredibly high bar to clear. It's under these circumstances. Like the other day I said, I didn't like watching the horse competition. The semifinals are tonight because Mark Jones, who's a good guy and a good sportscaster, but he's a play it straight guy. He doesn't goof around. You need a goof around guy to host that. But having said that, I don't even know if a goof around guy gets it right. I don't know if you put Kevin Hart in there to host if it's funny, because technically, and Sedano made the switch. I was texting with Sedano during it, and he made the point, Sedano, that he goes, look, no matter what you did, it was going to be really hard to make it good.
Yeah.
And so I think that goes into my question as well. No matter what you decide to do, doing it from remote at home with really no technical crew, no live audience. You know, Mace, you've been on these TV shows. You know they got like 20 people working behind the scenes to make the host look good. None of those people are available. It's incredibly hard. Just incredibly hard. But I think you're right. Saturday Night Live, because they took some chances and did some goofy stuff, I think it's so far the leader in the clubhouse for that particular question.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're going to do that every week, because that's really tough to duplicate.
They got to repeat this week. But what I heard they are going to do is they're going to try and stick to the schedule that they had pre-coronavirus.
Wow.
So good for them. Good for them.
And by the way, I think it is admirable. I there's terrible stuff in the world. There's terrible stuff going on. We just surpassed 33,000 deaths in the U.S. from COVID-19. It's awful. But entertainment does play a role in this for the rest of us. It encourages people to stay home. It gives us a sense of normalcy. Hopefully that's what we're doing. The circumstances aren't ideal for us either. I mean, I'm in my kitchen, and John's in his den, and Lindsay's in her apartment, and Funch is wearing his jean shorts by himself back in the studio. It's not the most ideal way to do a show, but I think it's important that everybody sort of provide some entertainment during this time. And you think about it, it's not that different from during a war. You know, the USO has performed for years in war zones. Terrible stuff is going on, but still they're finding a way to entertain people. So I think anybody that's making an effort, whether it's Colbert or it's Seth Meyers or it's Trevor Noah or it's Bill Maher, it's A for effort. Everybody that's trying deserves credit.
Completely agree, and let's see what they come up with over the next month, because at least in California, we're quarantined until the 15th of May.
Yep. All right, more Fast Track is coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track, and it's to me.
Fast Track.
All right, John, we're going to play around to the birthday game. Now, we've got a dispute already. I texted Sliwa and said, turn off Fast Track. I don't want you listening because we're going to play a game and I don't want you to hear it. And you have asserted that Sliwa is the most dishonest man in the world. And
right,
despite the fact that he told me he will not listen, that he's going to be listening.
Now, this, Lindsay, is where I think Mason is being incredibly naive and gullible. This exact scenario played out like a week and a half ago. And Sliwa swore he didn't listen.
Right, but I didn't ask him not to listen.
And then no, you asked him after the fact. You said, Alan, did you listen to the birthday game of Fast Track? He said, no, I did not listen. Then we played the game, and after it was over, he said, you know what? Because I said right then that you're lying, Slee. Well, of course you listen. You listen every day. And he said, no, I swear I didn't listen. Then as soon as it was over, he goes, you know what, guys? I did listen.
Okay, but now I've asked him not to listen, and you are asserting that he's going to listen anyway.
Yeah,
100%. Because that is unbelievably dishonest.
Lindsay, 100% Slee was listening, wouldn't you say?
I don't know. I think with Sliwa, you never really can tell. And
I mean,
what do you mean you can't tell? How dumb are you guys? Fool me once, shame on me. Shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me.
How are you going to use that answer? He fools you every single time. You always give him the benefit of the doubt, and he always
proves
you wrong.
But I'm the one saying he's going to cheat. You two are saying, no, he would never do that. He's already done it.
Yeah,
he did it once, but I think if you tell him not to, I don't know.
Yeah, I told him not to. I personally think more of Sliwa than you do.
No, I think Sliwa is human, and he's cheating right now.
I think he's got integrity.
I know you're listening right now. And Bass, this is how much I'm confident I can destroy Sliwa anyway. You and I are going to play the birthday game, and I guarantee you, even though he's listening and he will know the answers in advance, I will double his total. If he gets 8, I'll get 16. If he gets 5, I'll get more than 10. You want to bet me mythical money that I'll double his total?
No, I think you will double his total.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, I think you will. All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Funch, start with the first clue. Lead singer for Aerosmith.
Steven Tyler.
She's the Speaker of the House.
Nancy Pelosi.
Directed Do the Right Thing, big Knicks
Spike
fan.
Lee.
Played point guard for Boston last year. Now he's in Brooklyn.
Kyrie Irving.
Brooklyn. Superstar quarterback, played for the Colts, then won the Super Bowl with the Broncos.
Peyton Manning.
The president's youngest son.
Eric Trump.
Nope, a younger.
Don Jr.
Nope, children's TV star, Mr.
Rogers.
Played Captain Kirk on Star Trek.
William Shatner.
Played Spock on Star Trek.
Leonard Nimoy.
NFL running back, strongest handshake of all time.
Adrian Peterson.
Rocket Man, Philadelphia Freedom. You can tell everybody this. She sang Natural Woman, R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Aretha Franklin.
Star of Ferris Bueller, married to Sarah Jessica Parker.
Matthew Broderick.
She's married to Matthew Broderick.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Part of the big three in Miami, not LeBron, not Wade.
Chris Bosh.
Catcher for the Giants, San Francisco
Buster
Giants.
Posey.
Point guard for the Toronto Raptors.
Kyle Lowry. I got that in. How many did we get, Lindsay?
Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
16.
Okay. That's a bit.
So where'd we trip up there?
Youngest son, president's youngest son. Barron?
Yeah,
oh,
Baron,
you're looking for it. Oh, yeah. If you would have said the kid with Melania's son, I would have got it.
Yeah.
I kept thinking all the older kids. Yeah.
Did you answer right, Matthew Broderick?
Yeah. And I got Sarah Jessica, too.
Right.
Yeah, he did.
I clustered a couple of those together.
Yeah. Yeah. 16's good. Sliwa won't get more than 8.
No, he will not. He will not.
But,
I do believe he didn't listen.
Yeah, you are a gullible idiot.
By the way,
even if he did listen, I still don't think he'd get 8.
Oh, yeah, no. Even if you wrote them down for him, I don't think he would do it. Just give him flashcards with the names, cue cards. I still don't think he would be able to do it.
Fun?
All right.
Fast Track.
All right, Mace. We've been talking about it. This Sunday, ESPN debuts The Last Dance, the story of Michael Jordan and the Bulls trying to win their 6th championship. It's a 10-part series that will cover most of the Bulls' title runs. It got me to thinking. Let's say, and Funch, you can answer, Lindsay, you can answer. Let's say ESPN decides next to do a series on one of the Lakers' title runs, but we get to decide which one. I'll give you guys 4 choices.
Okay.
All right? Choice 1, the Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain, Gail Goodrich team that won 33 games in a row in 1971-72, still the record to this day for the most consecutive wins in any of the 4 major sports. That's choice 1.
Okay.
Choice 2, the Kareem, Magic, James Worthy team that went to 9 finals in the 80s. That's choice 2. Choice 3, the Shaq and Kobe Lakers that won 3 titles in a row from 2000 to 2002. That's choice 3. And choice 4, the Kobe and Powell Lakers who went to 3 straight finals from 2008 through 2010. Mace, you first. Which one of those four teams are you doing the series on? West, Wilton, Goodrich, Kareem, Magic, and Worthy, Shaq and Kobe, or Kobe and Powell?
Well, we should point out that the Showtime Lakers, they're doing a, I think it's HBO is doing a series where they've actually cast actors to do this. Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say fictional, but theatrical.
It's not the real people.
Yeah.
You know, call me a sucker for, maybe it's recency bias, but I think the Shaq Kobe Lakers would be my choice.
With Phil Jackson's first 3 years as the head coach, you would have Phil dating Jeannie.
Yep.
Which would be a fun aspect of it. Jerry West leaving the Lakers, and Shaq and Kobe going to four finals in 5 years. Lindsay, which one of those would you be most interested in seeing?
I agree, especially like if they got into the whole like ending of it, like how things.
Right, how things. You know,
yeah,
up.
Yeah. Of course, it would include that. Funch, are you on the same bandwagon? Shaq,
no,
Kobe,
I
Lakers?
Want to see the Cream and Magic Showtime Lakers special.
Well, you're going. That's the show Mason talked about. HBO is taking Jeff Perlman's book, Showtime, and making a TV series out of it where they've already cast the actors. I think, Mace, they're already shooting it.
Yeah, they are.
But the Shaq and Kobe Lakers had Rick Fox, who at the time was married to Vanessa Williams.
And, yep.
You know, you could put the Karl Malone, Gary Payton year in there.
Yeah, that's true.
Phil as the coach, and then it's the rise and fall of Camelot, because remember, you could include in that Phil leaving and Shaq going to Miami.
Yep.
So I think that's the one. I think Lindsay and Mace have got it. The Shaq and Kobe Lakers that went to four finals in 5 years. So they would rise to become a team that most people thought would be in the finals every year. That could have won as many titles as you could have kept them together, and they came crashing and burning down after their finals loss to the Pistons. I think that's the one.
All right, Funch.
Fast track.
Want to squeeze one in here?
We can. Yeah, go ahead. You do one, and then I'll do a game when we come back.
If you watch Saturday Night Live, we were just talking about it, you got to see Tom Hanks in his kitchen. Now, some have been very unimpressed by the kitchen itself. Tom Hanks has a net worth of $350 million. Francis Ellis writes, disappointing would be an understatement. Sink, tiny. Stove hood, minuscule. Cabinet wood, basic. Counterlaps, IKEA. Coffee maker, standard. Plus, she points out that it is a galley kitchen instead of an open design. It was a decidedly unfancy kitchen, according to her, not befitting a man worth $350 million. John, were you impressed with Tom Hanks' kitchen? Did you even notice that it was less than state-of-the-art? Is it possible that he didn't even do the show from his main residence? Maybe this is a cabin somewhere, not his main house.
What is this reporter's name?
Francis Ellis.
All right, Francis. Francis. Mace, there was a story in Variety this morning that Bill Simmons just bought his fifth house in Los Angeles.
Good for him.
Do we really think Tom Hanks only has one kitchen? He's Tom Hanks. My guess is Tom Hanks has multiple homes in multiple places, and there's no way he let him into the main house, the big house. This was, hey, go set up in my apartment in Burbank, and we'll shoot it there. The last part of your question is the one that makes the most sense to me. This was either somebody else's kitchen, or it was one of Tom Hanks's B, C, or D residences. Come on.
Yeah,
you really think that was Tom Hanks's main house?
Look, I thought the kitchen, I never even noticed it until I read this article. And by the way, it's funny that somebody would actually pick this out and write an article about it. But yeah, in looking at it, because I went back and watched it, I had a DVR, and I was like, yeah, normally fancy people have got like those Viking appliances that are fancy silver. He didn't have any of that stuff. The stove is like a normal stove. I think it just wasn't his main house. And his real house has got all the state-of-the-art stuff. But, yeah, I think it was an unimpressive kitchen. And maybe Tom Hanks was projecting a humble image, too.
I think that was not where Tom Hanks wakes up and has coffee every morning. Let's put it that way.
All right, more fast track.
That's a good point, Mace. Just was going to say, because Drake did some kind of live stream thing, and he has a huge, gigantic mansion, and people were like, pissed about it. They were like livid, like, oh, who do you think you are, Mr. Millionaire? So I think you're right about that last
part. Put forward a humble attitude. Yeah, he didn't do it from his big fancy kitchen with his Viking appliances and his open design and his big, like, what do they call that? An island
The more I think about it, Mace, you have a really nice house, but you have a very small kitchen.
I have a galley kitchen. I don't have an open open kitchen. I've got a galley kitchen. I don't have Viking appliances and all that fancy shit.
Yeah,
stuff.
We read fancy what?
Stuff.
Stuff.
It's quarantine. Stuff. You're allowed a couple of slip-ups.
Exactly.
We redid our kitchen a couple of years ago. Our kitchen would have looked
exactly
like
that. Yeah, you've got a nice
kitchen,
yeah.
Yeah, well, now we do. But it would have looked like Tom Hanks's if it would have been 2 years ago.
All right, more Fast Track coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track and Ireland. It's to you.
Fast Track.
Okay, I got a game. It's time for another edition of Who Has More. I'll give you guys two names, and you got to pick one as to who has more. Let's see how you do. Lindsay, you can play. Funches can play, and Mason is in. First question. Who has more IMDb acting credits? In other words, which one of these guys has been in more things?
Yep.
Denzel Washington or Tom Cruise? Lindsay, Denzel Washington or Tom Cruise? Who's been in more?
I'm going to go with Denzel.
Okay, Funch.
I'll say Tom Cruise.
All right, Mace, break the tie.
Tom Cruise started when he was about 15. I'm going to say Tom Cruise.
Lindsay is on the board early. Denzel Washington has 58 acting credits. Tom Cruise has 49. So Lindsay jumps out to a 1-0 lead. By the way, all of these are close.
Okay.
All these numbers are close. As a matter of fact, this one is insanely close. Funch, we'll start with you. Who has more career points, Tim Duncan or Carmelo Anthony?
Ooh.
Tim Duncan or Carmelo Anthony, Funch, which one?
I'll say Melo.
Okay, Mace.
I will say Melo.
Lindsay.
Tim Duncan, didn't he play longer?
Lindsay has jumped out to a 2-0 lead.
Wow.
This is insane, though. Duncan had 26,496. Had Melo been playing during the quarantine, he probably would have passed him by now. Melo, 26,314. So less than 200 points behind Tim Duncan. But Duncan for now has him, and Lindsay's up 2-0. All right. Mace, you go first this time.
Okay.
Who has more Grammy Awards? U2 or Beyonce? And this, again, is very close. U2 or Beyonce?
I'm going to say Beyonce.
Lindsay?
I'm going to say U2.
Funch?
Beyonce.
Beyonce is the correct answer as Funches and Mason battle back. Beyonce has 24, U2, 22. So very close. All right, back to Lindsay to go first here. She leads 2-1. Who has more home runs, Reggie Jackson or Mark McGwire? Again, very close, Lindsay. Reggie Jackson or Mark McGwire?
Mark McGwire.
Funch.
I'll say Reggie Jackson.
Mace, break the tie.
I'll say Mark McGwire.
The answer is Mark McGwire. He has 583. Reggie, 563. Lindsay, 3. Mason, 2. Funches, 1. 3 more to go. Lindsay, you went first on that one, so Funch, this one goes to you. Which show, TV show, had more Emmy nominations, Mad Men or The Sopranos? Again, ridiculously close, Funch. Which show had more Emmy nominations, Mad Men or The Sopranos?
Sopranos.
Mace.
Sopranos.
Lindsay.
I agree, but I'm going to say Mad Men instead just to win, possibly.
You will be glad you did, Lindsay. You pick up another point. This is amazing. Mad Men, 116.
Wow.
Emmy nomination. Sopranos, 112.
So, how many seasons did they both go?
I think Mad Men, I think they both went around 7, maybe 8. I think they were both right in that neighborhood, but very close, 116-112. All right, 2 more to go. Lindsay leads 4-2-1. Who has more, Mace, this one going to you, more career NFL receptions?
Okay.
Brandon Cooks or Robert Woods? This is, again, very close. Brandon Cooks or Robert Woods, Mace?
I will say it is Cooks.
Lindsay?
I also think it's... Is this the last question?
No.
Okay, I'm going to say... I'll say Cooks because I think that's who it is.
Okay, Funch?
Brandon Cooks.
All three of you, incorrect.
Oh.
Robert Woods, 435. Brandon Cooks, 402. So Robert Woods is a little better player than people give him credit for. 435 career starts. This, Lindsay, is the last question. Lindsay, 4. Mason, 2. Funchess, 1. This one worth 4 points. Lindsay, you have to go first because you're in first place. Who has more Oscar nominations?
Okay.
Robert Redford or Tom Hanks? Lindsay, Robert Redford or Tom Hanks?
I'm going to guess Tom.
Okay. Funch. Or no, you get to go last, Funch. Mace.
God. I have to go Redford to win, right?
All right.
Yeah, I think it's Hanks, but I'm going to go Redford.
All right. Funch, you can't win, so give me your honest answer. Robert Redford or Tom Hanks?
Robert Redford.
All right. Robert Redford had 4 career Oscar nominations. Tom Hanks, 6. And Lindsay wins start to finish.
Wow.
Very impressive.
Very impressive, Lindsay. This is your game. You own it.
Yeah, I'm awesome. I'm on a roll.
You want to do one more or you want to get Sliwa in here?
Yeah, let's do one more.
Okay. Jew.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh no, let's get Sliwa in here. I thought you were going to do another one.
I have to work? No.
Yeah, no.
All right, no, I'll save some
for tomorrow.
Now, I don't know if he'll be honest, but I know in my heart Sliwa listened to the birthday game on Fast Track. Mason, you swear he didn't. Right?
I swear he did not.
Okay.
I swear he did not.
We're going to find out next.
We'll find out. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah. All right, we are rolling on, and it is time, people. It is time.
That yeah, wrong music, Funch. That's the music we need.
Sliwa at sunset.
Now, we are going to do the best we can to get to the bottom of this before we even get started. Alan, I think it is human nature for people not to get embarrassed, you know, to come on the radio and represent themselves well. Mm-hmm. For that reason, I think you secretly listened to Fast Track today. I think you heard the birthday game. Mason swears he texted with you,
and I trust you.
And he is giving you the benefit of the doubt, even though you blatantly lied to him less than 2 weeks ago about this exact same thing. So, Alan, you don't have kids, so I will put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear, one day we're bringing a lie detector in to do a whole bunch of other stuff. We will strap you to this lie detector, and if it turns out you were lying, we will ruin you. Do you swear on your parents, the people that brought you into this world, you did not listen to the birthday game today?
I did not.
Mace, do you believe him?
I 100% do. I 100% don't. I hope I don't regret this. Man.
I think we are going to put him on a lie detector one day, and it's going to come tumbling down.
So let me tell you guys my routine, okay? My routine is this now that we're all quarantined. About 5:15-ish, I'll go for a walk for maybe a half hour or so, and I'm listening to Fast Track the entire time. And the last time we did this, I was already listening to Fast Track. Nobody told me not to listen to it. So this time, Mason, around 4:50, was like, hey, do not even think of Fast Track. So I didn't even go for a walk. I just sat here. So I did see on Twitter 16 questions. Or you got 16 right, John?
I did.
And then they took a vote of how many I would get. And
I promised that I would double your total before I even took the game. I said, no matter what I do, I will double Sliwa's total. Now, you can get 8 of these. But if you do, then I will take it to my grave that you cheated and listen to Fast Track. We'll see how you do. Now, Mace, are you prepared to give Alan the list?
I am.
By the way, I'm
prepared to do it.
I already voted. I already said no, and then I commented that there's no chance I'm going to get over eight. So,
okay, so Lindsay,
shows you my confidence level.
Do you, Lindsay? Do you want to bet? I'm going to set the over under. I think eight's a little high for you. I'm going to set the over under for Alan at five.
I was going to say five would be good.
He last time he got six. I think the time before that he got four. So I'm setting the over under at five. Lindsay, would you like to bet some of your mythical money on Alan Sliwa?
You know, I would, but I feel like five's like right there, and it's—I don't know if he listened or not. So I'm
okay, Lindsay. Lindsay, I have a very important question to ask you.
Sure.
Do you believe me that I did not listen?
I'm not sure.
Wow, that sucks, Mace.
I mean, they both think you're dishonest.
John thinks you are
100% dishonest.
I take it back. I believe you. I believe that you didn't, because when I tried to help you one time, you told them because you said that you had a guilty conscience.
Yeah, and I mean, he's swearing on his parents, and he knows I'm going to slap a lie detector on him one day about this what we're discussing right this second.
Right,
so I believe you,
Lindsay. How much money do you want to bet, and do you want to take the over or the under?
I'm going to take, I think this one was a little bit tougher. I'll take the under. Right. I'll bet $1,000.
$1,000 on the under.
It's great to know.
Sliwa, I lost $5,000 on you with the, in the does Sliwa know, because I gave you the benefit of the doubt. And
I went 0 for 4.
Yeah, you went 0 for 5, but I don't sell yourself short. Even though I know you cheated, and I think you're going to get more than five, I'm going to trust my instincts, and I'm going to bet $2,000 on the under. Under five. Mace, five is a wash. Do you want to bet either side of it?
I will bet $5,000 on the over.
Oh, now I feel like that you guys are in cahoots on this.
No, absolutely not. I'm just looking at him and saying, I can see how he could get some of these. I'm going to do them in the exact same order with the exact same clues.
Okay. Funch, do you have 60 seconds on the clock?
Yes, I do.
Mace, confirm, I'm betting 2,000.
Yeah, I thought you said one, but you can bet two.
Bet two, and you're betting how much, John?
Two.
Two, and then Steve,
we both have the under.
And then Mace, you said five.
$5,000 on the
five
over.
Five on the over. Which
I should have a drink right now.
Which makes me think Mason and Sliwa are in cahoots.
Trust
here.
Me. That is
all
not
right.
The again,
Lindsay,
stop challenging people's personal integrity.
Okay, Lindsay, I'm changing to the over.
Ooh.
I'm changing.
Everybody's
to
on
the
minds
over
are
now.
Shifting.
No,
what
Lindsay,
happened?
Lindsay's on the under.
John, what happened for you to change it? What
he thinks you and I are cheating.
I think that if I know Mason's going to try really hard because he has more writing on this than I do.
If I had mythical money, I would bet on the under.
You would bet the under.
I'm now betting the over. All right, Funch, you have 60 seconds on the clock.
Yes, I do.
Time out. Since the lines are shifting, I'm betting five. 5K.
Wow, okay.
Now it's 5K on the under.
Which way are you going? You're going the
under. Yep.
Okay. Can I make a bet too?
Yes, absolutely.
I have a lot of confidence in Alan. I'm going to bet $10,000 on the over.
Wow.
See, now lines are shifting again.
Now we got some action.
Jesus.
Now I think they might be in cahoots, too.
Now there's a lot of pressure.
Lindsay, you got to look at it this way. You now have an excellent chance to make money on the field, because not only if he goes under, which he's proven he's very capable of doing, you not only win your five, but we all lose, so it's more like you're going to win 10. And against Funch, you'd win 15. So you should stay on the under. Matter of fact,
if you
switch, I'm going to the under.
I'm staying.
Okay. All right.
Okay, Funch, do you believe me that I did not listen to Fast Track?
Yeah, I believe you. I believe you.
Yeah,
man.
Look, Funch, right, Funch, that's a lock right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Alan, for God's sakes, get six of these. I got 16. Come on, man. Where'd you go to college?
San Diego State University.
All right.
That explains.
This is a giant indictment on San Diego State, the school my wife graduated from, the school Kirk Morrison attended. Do it for the Aztecs.
Yeah, so here's
Sliwa.
The thing, Alan. If you don't know, pass.
Okay.
If you right just away. Don't know, pass right away.
I got a feeling I might be saying that a lot. All right, let's
no problem.
It.
All right, ready, Funch?
Yes, sir.
All right, when Mace starts giving the clues, go.
Lead singer for Aerosmith.
Pass.
She is the Speaker of the House.
Nancy Pelosi.
He directed Do the Right Thing. He's a big Knicks fan.
Spike Lee.
He played point guard for Boston last year. Now he's in Brooklyn.
Kyrie Irving.
Superstar quarterback, played for the Colts, then won the Super Bowl with the Broncos.
Peyton Manning.
Melania's son.
I don't know his name. Pass.
Children's TV star, Mr.
Rogers.
Yep. Played Captain Kirk on Star Trek.
Pass.
Played Spock on Star Trek.
Pass.
NFL running back with the Vikings, had a bunch of yards, abused his kid.
Adrian Peterson.
Rocketman, Philadelphia Freedom, You Can Tell Everybody This Is Your Song.
You could tell everybody, pass.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Aretha Franklin.
Star Ferris Bueller.
You got seven, Sliwa, you did it!
One away from eight, man. I almost did the over.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Now, Sliwa, I'm going to give you another chance.
Yes.
Did you listen to Fast Track?
110%. I did not.
Okay.
God bless you,
Seven.
Alan.
That's a winner for Funches, Ireland, and Mace.
Woo! I should have known Steven Tyler. My bad on
you
that.
You should have known Steven
what
Tyler.
Were yeah. What were the other ones you missed?
You Mace? Didn't know Rocket Man, Philadelphia Freedom, You Can Tell Everybody This Is Your Song.
Saturday Night's song. All Right for Fighting?
I know the song, but I do not know. Wherever you were going, I did not know.
No. Played Captain Kirk. That was William Shatner.
Okay.
Played Spock on Star Trek. That was Leonard Nimoy. Melania's son is Baron Trump.
Baron, yes, great kid.
Mason gave it to you in the
clue. He started saying it.
I almost said it, yeah.
Well, I didn't know where, that's right. I didn't know you were going because you were saying both
that's
of them.
That's the one I missed, Alan.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't say Trump. That's what tripped me up on that clue. But congratulations, Sliwa.
I didn't hit the eight, but everybody got paid. Lindsay, did you end up?
No, she lost.
Oh,
she lost $5,000.
She hit the under. Yeah.
She's gonna slap you in the head when she sees you. You cost her money.
In August. She's gonna slap you in the head in August.
Yeah. When we see each other in December, Alan, Lindsay's gonna be very mad at you.
She's gonna remember.
I'm happy that you're getting better at this game, actually.
You are getting better, Alan. I remember when you only got four.
There's plenty of time to get back to that. Don't get too excited.
Question, what is the latest on the logo? Now, I tweeted out what I think the logo should be. The station tweeted out, I got these in a leak. I don't think they were supposed to come out. But yesterday I put out the leaked logo, and it's not official, but these are the ones that people think in the promotions department and the marketing department that would work the best for you. They are so generic and they are so corporate-y. I think the one that should stand is the one I created in about 10 minutes on Photoshop with the sun setting, and it's saying Sliwa at sunset.
Mace, there's a better one that came out last night.
Is there?
A little,
okay.
A little better than yours.
That has to be a lot better.
It's a picture, Alan. You know, I'm trying to find it so I can give this guy credit, but it is a picture of an actual sunset with the LA skyline in the background, and in the sun, inside of the sun, it just says SAS.
Oh. I'm going to find it. Mace, I think it was one of
Brian Sawyer is the guy who did it.
Brian Sawyer.
Mace, here's the thing.
Brian Sawyer, BryanSawyer.
No matter what, Mace, so let's say hypothetically.
Oh, God, that's beautiful.
Let's say
Isn't that a good one?
Beautiful. Oh, that is beautiful. Brian Sawyer, congratulations. It is way better.
Let's say the logo, the standard ESPN corporate logo, right?
Yeah.
That one. Let's say that's the one. Does it really matter to you because you're going to always use this one? Like, whichever one you want to use, you're going to use. When you guys promote the show, it will never get more promotion than the way you guys are promoting it. So technically, does it really matter what it says?
Here, it does. It does, and it's for this reason, Alan. We live in an era where your brand is incredibly important. And the other thing is,
yeah, ask
brand,
the Kardashians.
Your brand needs to be consistent from platform to platform.
True.
I mean,
very true.
The Sliwa at Sunset, the one I just sent out, retweeted from Brian Sawyer, that looks great on a T-shirt, man. That's the Sliwa at Sunset brand. I mean, I would wear a T-shirt with that.
Yeah,
logo.
But like a Mace, like a navy blue T-shirt with that on it.
Oh,
that,
that
really
kills.
Good.
That absolutely kills. See,
and on
to
the
me,
front,
that's what
it just
about.
Says SAS. And then, Alan, again, thinking about your brand, mm-hmm. you would get sued by Stephen A. Smith, and it would
right.
be in every tabloid.
Oh, you would get
you
so
know,
much
of fact,
the big
Alan,
guy going after the little guy.
Right.
Right.
The more I think about this, I've come to a conclusion. Lindsay, back me up on this. Sliwa, you need to date a Kardashian. It doesn't even matter which one.
Yeah.
That would get you
Wait,
in the headlines.
I think it does matter which one, though.
No, it doesn't.
It
no,
really
it
doesn't.
Lindsay,
just,
I think at this point, it doesn't matter. I don't think it
matters. He just needs to end up at Nobu with one of the Kardashians,
right.
And,
you
and
know
the
what?
Rest it, will take care of
it
itself.
It doesn't even have to be one of those real Kardashians. It can be just somebody named Kardashian.
What if it's a friend of the Kardashians?
No, that's enough, especially if it's one of their BFFs, like Malika or one of them. Mm-hmm. Then mm-hmm. then you're in.
Do you watch that show, Alan?
I do not. Here's the question. Why? What's in it for them?
The fact that they
love.
Would be... Yeah. They
love.
They
nice,
call,
Lindsay. Nice,
they lead,
Lindsay.
They lead with their hearts, Alan. They lead with their hearts. Poor Chloe. She's had her heart broken many times.
It's true.
Including mostly by professional athletes. But I think that Tristan Thompson and her are currently on a break. Kim dates Kanye, and you know Kanye could spin off the planet.
They're married.
That could end.
No,
any
they're
minute.
Married, and they've got three kids.
Four, I think.
They've got North, South, East, and West, don't they?
By the way, hey, Kylie Allen is worth $100 million, and she's a knockout.
See, I think this raises an interesting point. One that it's the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Alan Sliwa. Sitting in his little apartment in Chinatown by himself.
For now.
No girlfriend.
For now.
No wife.
For now.
No dog. No friends.
This is a great setup. This is a great setup.
You lead an unbelievably depressing life. How the hell are you getting through this?
Sliwa, you go on even one date with a condemned. You could go out with Chris. You go out with the momager.
Yeah, but right now you've got to be 6 feet
brand.
Away from a Kardashian in order to go on a date with them.
Do you?
I mean, Sliwa, what is your existence? You are really all by yourself in the world, aren't you?
Mace, what kind of a setup is that for anybody?
A depressing one. You need a Kardashian.
But isn't it real?
Mace, never be a therapist, ever.
Like your
in your
only,
life, never
your
be a
only
therapist.
Friends are the people that hop on your show.
Yes, that is correct. That
Us
is correct.
And the people who hop on.
By the way, Alan, who's hopping on tonight?
Yeah, who is hopping on?
I'm trying to go away from hopping on now. Now it's in my head. I want you guys to know that.
Okay.
Pedro Mora, The Athletic, will join the show. Mm-hmm. Evan Daniels from 24/7 Sports will join the show, Mason.
Okay,
and
join.
And Alyssa Tan, that's the varsity lacrosse athlete. As okay. we continue to do our high school shout-outs.
I'm excited about Alyssa. I've never heard of those other two guys.
Yeah, the other two guys, I'm not sure where you found it.
I'm kidding. Sure. We have Pedro Mora on our show. He's great.
They're just Pedro's great. All right, at some point, are you going to say, what's your guys' opinion?
I'm working on that one, too.
To me, that's the highlight of the show. I can see that on a T-shirt, too.
What's the guy that left?
Your guys' opinion.
Who's the guy that left around, what time was it, like 3:30 or so? Or 3:30 or so? You guys were playing some of the voicemails?
Yeah.
Who's the guy that did like a full song, and then at the end, he just threw me under the bus for nothing?
Oh,
yeah, he called
fun,
your
fun,
show.
Fun, see if you can find that one. Which one
he
was
called,
that, Lindsay?
He called your show Purgatory at Sunset.
Oh, no, yeah, that was the long rambling guy. I don't know if we want to play that again. That was, he created a whole open for our show.
Yeah.
That was quite long.
And threw you under the bus at the end.
Just threw that in, just at the end. By the way, I kind of appreciate it. I kind of appreciate that he did that.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, when all is said and done, because I think that you've shown glimmers of talent, just glimmers.
Very small.
In the distance, I can see where there might be talent somewhere buried beneath that clueless head of yours.
Very far out there.
Hey, Ellen,
thank you again.
But you can't get a Kardashian to go out with you. How about one of the Bradys?
Real quick, just Marcia,
Jan, Cindy, any of them? Alice?
Wasn't this entire show, or wasn't this entire week about optimism?
It is about optimism.
What are you talking about?
You're destroying me here, Mace.
Yeah, I know. I worry about you.
Where's the optimism?
I feel like I need to send you an instant cart filled with something. Because you're by yourself in your apartment in Chinatown. No woman, no girlfriend, no dog, just you.
Alan, you have nowhere to go but up. That's the definition of optimism. You can only go one way.
That's true. John is taking more of an optimistic approach.
Of course I am. This is your year. Everybody else is having a miserable 2020.
This is a terrible year.
I just said everybody else is miserable. Alan has nowhere to go but up.
If this is your year, you suck.
Yeah, this ain't the year. This is not the year.
All right. Coming back next, Sliwa, as always.
I got a game.
You got a game?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Sliwa's got a game. Excellent.
Okay, good. Alan, just out of curiosity, what is my record in games against Mason that you
screw you. Screw you.
Lindsay, are you keeping track over there or no?
Like long term, no, but I'll start to.
I always get rooked in this thing.
This just in from Brian Sawyer, the guy who created your new logo, Alan. Kylie Jenner is a billionaire with a B. That's the girl for you.
Yeah.
Billionaire Alan. Billionaire Alan Sliwa. How does that sound?
That's love right there.
Can you imagine a billionaire in your lonely apartment?
I'm staying here. Even if I'm a billionaire,
apartment in Chinatown.
Kylie, please.
With your bed that comes down. What do they call that when the bed comes down from the wall? It's not a trundle bed. It's a Murphy bed. You've got a Murphy bed.
Mace, I already told you. I just fold up this mattress towards the wall. I don't have a Murphy bed.
Yeah. All right. Sliwa's got a game next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. I wanted to mention we are getting really real. Okay, Sliwa, who's singing?
Yeah. This is Billie Eilish.
Yeah,
Billie Eilish.
Look at him on the learning curve. All right, want to mention we've got our voicemail line that is always open. We especially love when people call in the middle of the night when they are stoned or they are drunk. Some of that stuff has been the very best stuff we've got, and we appreciate that. And the phone number for our voicemail line is 530-377-6710. That's 530-ESPN-710. You can ramble. You can mock us. You can sing a stupid song. You can do a stupid poem.
You can do a Sliwa impersonation.
Sliwa impersonation. Yeah, what's your guys' opinion? 530-ESPN-710.
All right, Alan, you got a game today. What's the subject of this one?
Real quick. Do you guys hear Stephen A? Do you guys think, John, I think you guys might have hit on this a little bit yesterday, too. Lakers would have no chance against that Bulls team? No chance at all?
No, we said that it would be very close. It would probably go seven-game series. It would depend on who's Phil Jackson with, the Lakers or the Bulls?
By the way, I feel like it would be a close series, too. And Stephen A said Lakers would get blown out.
No. If we get Phil Jackson and they would have to, you know, have Tim Floyd or something, then the Lakers win. If they get Phil Jackson, then who coaches us? Can I have Pat Riley?
Oh, yeah. That's a comp right there.
Then if give me Pat Riley, I'll bet the Lakers all day.
Yeah, I'll take the Lakers in seven. What's your guys' opinion?
Oh, geez. All right, you ready?
Yeah, what is the game?
Unbelievable. All right, this is the same thing, okay? Mason versus Ireland. All right.
Yeah. Right.
This is going to be on wrestlers. WWE wrestlers.
Neither one of us
don't know anything about wrestling.
That's why it'll be funny.
It's okay.
Why would we play wrestlers?
I think this will be it will be easy enough, okay? So I'll give some hints on wrestlers.
We don't know anything about wrestling.
You guys ready?
I mean, the extent of my knowledge is woo, Ric Flair. That's it.
Okay. Here we go. Ready?
Okay. Yep.
This is a terrible idea.
Use your name as your buzzer.
Yeah.
Okay. His nickname in wrestling was the Rattlesnake. Finishing move was the Stone Cold Stunner.
John,
go ahead.
Steve Austin.
Okay. 1-0, John.
Again, I'm going to say I know nothing about wrestling.
So, John, or Mace, even Stone Cold, you didn't know who that was?
I kind of knew Stone Cold. Yeah, that one I kind of knew.
Okay. The Nature Boy.
Mace. John.
I think Mace got that one.
What?
I did. That's Ric Flair.
I'd like to appeal.
Fine. Lindsay, what was that?
No, Mace had it.
All right.
Mace had it. Okay, 1-1. Eighth Wonder of the World. The Gentle Giant.
John.
Go ahead, John.
Andre the Giant.
2-1. 2-1.
So we are getting these somehow.
You are getting them. All right. Played football for the University of Miami.
John.
Go ahead, John.
The Rock.
3-1.
How many of these are there?
Just first to four.
First guy to four.
Can I surrender? I mean, it's kind of a first, but can I just wave the white flag?
Did you know The Rock? That was The Rock or no?
No, I knew, but
I should have said was on Jumanji.
Then I would have gotten it right away.
Yeah, right.
Okay, ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got to find one here then. The only Olympic gold medalist in professional wrestling.
Mason.
Go ahead.
Ronda Rousey.
No.
Didn't she win a gold medal?
No, and she's also not in wrestling anymore.
Well, she was at one point. Is there another clue?
He was actually just let go by WWE.
John.
Yesterday.
Yes.
John.
Yep.
It's Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle.
Game over. Excellent
okay, so
game,
I know,
Alan.
But
I
surrendered a long time ago.
I know not
surrendered
to do
one question ago. By the way, Alan, what's Mason's record against me in your games? I'm curious.
Mace, where am I supposed to go with these? What am I supposed to do?
Ronda Rousey only won a bronze medal at the Olympics.
In what?
In judo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she lost the silver medal game and took bronze in 2006.
What would be from a competitive perspective the best subject for you two to go at it on?
Anything but wrestling.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, but you're a wrestling fan.
No, I mean,
John,
like, I thought, like,
John,
you guys
you got
did,
four
you did well.
Yeah, but only after you, like, I didn't get any on the first clue, did I? The Miami one I did. That was it.
How do you guys think that Alan feels when you ask him these questions? And he knows nothing about the subject.
Nothing. That was it. That was a good simulation.
That was the same. I feel nothing. I actually, people think we have so much at stake. I don't
hey,
feel anything when I win or lose these.
Sliwa, Mason and I got something to do tonight. Believe
yeah,
it or
we
not.
Do.
So
we're
what?
Have to leave you.
Where are you guys going?
We got big plans.
Big
quarantine
party.
Plans.
We're doing a Zoom.
Yeah.
By the way, John, real quick, you know how Mace will do his looky?
Yeah.
So already sometimes done. He'll do it. Sometimes he'll do it, and he'll sit on not knowing, or he'll wait for me to finish the first segment. The whole first segment yesterday, he was potted up. So you just kind of heard typing in the background, and I wasn't
right.
paying attention. I didn't know.
And
what
you heard
he
me
there.
Talking to my dog. Hey, so
then he's
hey, so
then, then he just starts talking to his dog, and then I realize, okay, Mason's been
minute.
On the show for 10 minutes.
Was any of that on the air?
Yeah,
all
I was
of
on
it.
Here.
Okay.
Yeah,
do you
oh my
know,
God, that's
do you
great.
Know how
that.
Lucky you are that Mason didn't curse up a
yeah,
storm?
Yeah, that's true.
Mason has never gone 10 minutes off the air without saying the F word, ever. You're very
Mace,
lucky.
Mace, that was a solid 10 with no cursing.
Oh, that was a solid 10. Yeah, you went long on that segment, and I had no idea. It wasn't until I said, hey, Sophie, that you were like, Mace, you're on the air. Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Hey, I'll let you know that.
Speaking of going long, we're out of here.
Yeah, tomorrow on the show, Bill Walton's going to join us. Clinton Yates, he's got a new MLB show. And Dan Straley, who's a former Major League pitcher, who's now pitching in South Korea. That's all coming up for you tomorrow. Sliwa is next.
And Ladies Line. Ladies Line tomorrow.
Oh, Ladies Line is open tomorrow night. That's fantastic.
And wait, I think you should set up a Kardashian line just in case one of them wants to get through.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. All right. That's all coming up for you tomorrow. Sliwa at Sunset is now. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.